Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling Stones are rapping, not bragging. Lip bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Spell it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who poses heroes, take advantage of blacks. The government's gangsters, so cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at?
Well, hello there. My name is Miguel Buller. This is Miguel and Holly Uncensored, our uncensored podcast that we do once a week. That is Miss Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
That is associate producer Scotty the Butter.
Hey.
And then producer Ryan, hopefully, will be making his way in. He's doing that other gig, working promotions.
Yeah.
So, hi.
Hi.
How's everybody doing today?
Oh, you know, good.
Living.
I was just telling Scotty the Body, I think some Italian man is trying to slide up on my DMs on Twitter.
Oh, what is he saying?
Well, I posted a meme on like a big long thread that Netflix had posted, and I got a bunch of like absolutely random people that liked it, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm.
So it was like mini viral, but I think this is one of those people. And he goes, "Hello, Holly. I'm Alessio from Florence, Italy, 35
Alessio.
Years old. Nice to meet you." And I'm like, you know, thanks for the follow, and then blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, he asks if I'm in radio, and I go, yes. And he goes, "How's it going with that?" I said, "Good." And then he goes, "Winky face, have a good work at the radio. About me." I'm like, no, no.
Oh, no. He said, "Let me see your pee."
Oh.
Let me see your pee.
Not you pee.
No.
Your pee. Oh, yeah. I want to see your pee.
Oh, dear.
He wants to see your pee.
Anyway. Well, he's not going to. So, anyway, that's fun. That's great. That's what's happening in my life right now.
Well, that's great. Well, I want to thank everybody who reached out after we talked to SBK Soul Brother Kevin
in our last
episode of Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we wanted to take a little bit off after that because it was such a deep personal podcast where we talked about his kidney transplant and everything.
The breakup that he's going through.
Yeah, it was just a lot. It was just, I felt like sometimes you just got to put like a period on the end of it. And that's the thing about doing like radio is that we never get to do a period. It's always like, as soon as we do a segment that's like really good,
mm-hmm.
you got to do it the next day. You got to do another one next day. It's not like a TV show where it's like, all right, here's our like big season finale. Boom. Now you're left thinking about it for 3 months or like Game of Thrones, a year and a half.
Right. Oh. While we prepare greater content for you.
No, not us.
No. We're just going to keep on shoveling stuff out every day.
Which I tell you what, there are some radio shows that I listen to in Australia and they take like TV show hiatuses off. Like they take like the summer off for a couple months or like winter break. They'll like we take 2 weeks off during the winter, which I then feel guilty about on the second week. But they take like 2 months off. But it's like sometimes like right now I'm going through like I'm tired. Like my mind feels tired because I feel like in the fall we were like going real hard creatively. As soon as we got out of the Christmas break, I was like, I'm ready.
Yeah, Miguel
we got stuff.
Came in and was like, okay, if you picture like an architect coming in with blueprints and like a
this
pencil
is what's gonna happen.
Or like a compass behind his ear, like that's basically what Miguel did when we got back from winter break.
Yeah, because I was ready. I was so ready because for the first time I felt like in a long while, we were on a good streak. You know, having Scott onto the show, contributing, Ryan started contributing more on the air, and it was just like, yes, we're in it.
Clicking.
And then after doing that, and then there was some like rating stuff, and it wasn't exactly where we wanted it to be, and that gets discouraging, but you're like, it's okay, we're gonna keep going, we gotta, you know, put your head down, keep going, and then like some other stuff behind the scenes, and it was just like, well, I'm fucked. I'm tired. I'm tired.
Mentally tired.
I wish we would have taken like a little spring break.
But
the whole point of this is that like those TV shows, they get time to rest their brains for a little bit because sometimes like when you're doing this creative stuff and it's like never ending, like there's never an end date.
No.
There's never like an end, which is okay, but like sometimes you need like a semicolon.
Yes, something.
Let me get a semicolon.
Interestingly, because I was about to go on this whole thing. I mean, okay, so you've got local television people. Mm-hmm. They don't really get a break.
Right.
But then again, they're reporting the news, so it's something new every day. They're not coming up with like a bit, for example. Right. And then you've got like TV shows or movies or whatever, and that creative world, they clearly take breaks. Mm-hmm. Like you've got the actors from, I don't know why this just popped in my head, but This Is Us. Mm. So you've got those actors who obviously don't feel guilty about doing their, you know, third season.
Right.
And then they take a break. Right. And then they come back for the next season. Why is it that a creative medium like a radio show, where we do have bits and we do have things that creatively can tap you, why don't we get a break? And why do we feel bad about not about taking one?
Because I feel like historically in our industry, the people that make those decisions don't care about talent. Like at the end of the day, a lot of times in coming up through radio through the years, you're always made to feel like as a talent, you don't matter. Of
yes.
like out
well,
of
yeah.
all the people in the building, you're the most replaceable.
Yeah.
Like they could get, you know, we can't do our jobs without the salesperson, you know, all these other positions that you listening don't have, you don't have any clue like what they are. You know, we need those people. But you as a talent, and look at how what happens a lot of times, you know, think about in your life, you know, you've listened to morning shows throughout the year, how they just like disappear and they never get to say goodbye. Because in the mind of management through the years, which is sometimes true, that you're replaceable and that the audience may grieve you for a second, but otherwise they're going to move on and they're going to listen to whoever we put in that spot.
Right.
So you are replaceable. And so I think because of that, they're like, we'll just keep grinding it out until you can't. And then we'll just throw somebody else in there to replace you. And that's it.
Why? Right. Which it doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Because you wouldn't say that about an actor or an actress on your favorite show.
Right. I mean, except for you, if you're Roseanne and you say something stupid and then you get... not replaced, but they just take you out of the show.
Completely, but that's a different thing.
Right.
But, right. And then I'm like, okay, well, that's making us sound too important now. Now I'm trying to put us at the same level as like TV actors, and clearly we're not.
But why not? But just because our audience is a little bit?
That's the thing. I don't know. Even, okay, so, and maybe like a written scripted TV show is not the way to look at it. Look at something like a Tonight Show.
Mm.
They take a break, right?
They do.
Yeah. So, like, those writers are getting material ready for something new every day.
Right.
But they get a break.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they get a break?
Right.
So, I don't know why this turned into this.
I know. Probably listening have, like,
you're like,
don't care
shut
at all.
Up. You're so whiny and bitchy and privileged. Shut up.
It's like you get to sit in there in a damn studio and you get to talk and tell jokes and we're working hard, which you are. In my soul right now, in this very moment, I'm just tired. That's all.
Here's what I'm going to say to you listening. If you, let's say you work at a library and the library offered like off times in the summer, you'd be down for that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, why does Seattle's library close down in June?
For
but
real.
Over here, we work year round. If it were a viable option for you, you know you'd want to do it too.
Mm-hmm. I just want to sit down a little bit, so that's fine.
Anyway.
But that's where we are right now. I do want to spend a couple of minutes talking about Scotty. The bodies.
Hey.
Your spring break. So when we were on the air, we literally had to rush through that segment.
Yeah.
So if you don't listen, like maybe if you don't live in Tampa Bay or you don't get to listen, Scott was in Key West this weekend for his spring break from USF. And so we challenged you with like the scavenger hunt and you had to do three things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're going to treat you and your girlfriend to a nice dinner if you completed it. On the air when we presented it, we just have to go like so fast.
Yeah, we're like,
I know.
Hit the sweeper.
Clip. It's on Instagram. Bye.
Yeah.
exactly how I felt.
So we didn't get a chance to really like sit down and be like, so how was your spring break? Outside of like the scavenger hunt stuff that you had to do, like what happened when you went to Key West with your girlfriend this weekend?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was definitely needed. I mean, just to kind of put it in perspective, we're just talking about being tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt like that was like my first break in like a while.
Yeah.
Because even like during the break over like winter and stuff and even Thanksgiving, like I was working.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really get that time to rest my brain. So that was nice to just kind of escape a little bit and just literally go, which is weird because I still felt guilty about it. But whatever. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long ass drive. But we got there. It was cool because we were with her brother and their friends. And so it was just a nice chill group. It wasn't massive. I don't like massive groups where I have to take charge of everyone.
Mm.
We were just able to go.
I love that. That's my favorite.
I just feel I want to go relax with the people I truly care about. And we went and hung out on the beach. We got a couple drinks going on that first night. And then that night, it just went like bonkers.
Oh.
What happened that first night?
Like, the first, I think we just got excited. We got way too excited for spring break. And so, like, we had a bottle of Tito's in the room that we were making drinks in. Mm. Pre-gaming, when it's like, in reality, I don't drink a lot. I know, like, my parents think I drink a lot because I'm in college and I come home and have a couple glasses of wine because I'm wild. But when I'm in school, like,
girl,
I really don't drink.
That Chardonnay gets you going, honey.
Yes. Enough of it will, but I don't drink a lot. And so when we're pre-gaming, it's like, okay, already had a couple drinks, feeling it. We go out downtown on, like, Duval Street. So if you've ever been to Key West, it's, like, the busy street there where all the bars and everyone's located.
Yeah.
So we go there. We stop in a bar. There's, like, a singer doing his thing, and we're chugging beers back and kind of yelling at the singer, singing along with it.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just, from there, like, after that, I was already feeling it. Like, I'm already well into it. And we start bar hopping all over to different bars, and we went to one that was, like, unlimited for $10.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And they had any drink you could ever imagine, where, like, the little slushy drinks. Oh. The little daiquiris.
Tasty.
Oh, my gosh. Had, like, 5 of those. It was crazy. We were jamming. There's another band that we're just rocking out, screaming at the top of our lungs, dancing. It was awesome.
Okay, so, but what really happened, though? So, this all sounds fun and dandy.
Well, this is the fun part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the next thing we know, we're at another bar. I didn't get to say this on the air. Well, I did in that morning slot, but, like, we went to this older kind of crowd bar where they're playing, like, 60s, 70s, 80s. And, like, I know it all, and I love it. But the people there were kind of, we were the youngest ones.
Right. And they weren't ready for spring break.
No. No. Yeah. And so we were singing and stuff, but we met this one woman, Joanne.
Joanne,
who was just feeling it. She was dancing all around, and she was, like, flirting with one of the people in our group, just kind of dancing back and forth. And I was drunk at this point, so I'm, like, messing with the band, like, flashing the band, putting my arms up in the air.
And when you say flashing, what are you flashing?
I was just lifting my shirt, like, I'm not showing my penis.
Oh God.
I would get arrested at that point.
It's Key West. Wait, well, I feel like Key West, though,
not
a restaurant. People were having, like, queso in front of me. Like, I'm not gonna show my penis when you're having a sandwich. That's rude.
Now, that's the best time to see someone's penis is when you're having a sandwich.
I disagree. Nope.
You don't want to have that ham and turkey.
No.
Anyway,
I'm not trying to get chips and dip.
So
penis.
She's, like, over there. She sees me do it, and she comes up to me, and she's like, oh, my God, like, I do that all the time. And I'm like, do you? That's awesome. Great.
No, Joanne.
She's like, oh, but I'm wearing a dress. I'm like, okay. Next thing you know, we're dancing. She looks over at me and my girlfriend and her friend, and she just lifts her dress above her head and just shows us all everything.
Yes. Come on, Joanne.
Did she have panties on at least?
Honestly, I was kind of just blinded by a nipple. I was just like, what in the world? Like, I turned my head because, like, I don't even know how to react to that. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to go down.
Yeah. I think the only way you can react to that is looking away and going, oh, shit.
Yeah. That's what I did. I think the other girls, like, stared. We're like, what the fuck? Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yes, Joanne.
So that was, like, the more fun stuff. Then we kept drinking, and I think that's when it kind of went downhill for the night because we started getting way too drunk.
Mm.
And, like, one of the people lost their phones.
Oh.
And so, like, my girlfriend and I went, like, we were running around because we have the tracker on the phone of, like, where's the phone? So we were all drunk trying to be investigators, finding the phone around Key West, running around bars. I'm like, I don't know what's going through our head, but we're about to go fight someone if we find this phone.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Apparently a bartender found it. They gave it back to the guy, but we're, like, around different bars trying to look for it. Finally got back, but then I guess that caused a fight within the group of, like, people were upset and, like, somebody said something to another person, like a guy, and it
Now, who all is in your group in Key West?
Well, it was me, my girlfriend, her brother, and his girlfriend, and another friend. And so I think, like, a fight broke out between, like, I think they just kind of got drunk and irritated at each other. My girlfriend's brother and his girlfriend, and they got irritated at each other. And so, like, my girlfriend and her brother's girlfriend started having this, like, heart to heart on, like, what's going on with the relationship. All this.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, like, me and the brother, like, chilling with the other friend, like, we're still drinking. I felt like the middleman because I'm like, okay, I could either go over here and provide Scott advice, which I'm not down to do that in that situation, or I could go keep drinking and dancing on the dance floor with the boys.
Yeah.
So I kept drinking and dancing while the other two were, like, crying and having this deep heart to heart because we're just drunk trying to accomplish everything.
Now, could you hear what your girlfriend was saying? Like, was she talking about you specifically?
No, she wasn't talking about me.
Was she saying, like, she hates you or she's over you?
I wasn't fighting.
She wasn't in the fight.
We were fine.
But you said that she was talking to...
She was talking to her brother's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so they were discussing their situation.
But was she crying, too? Was your girlfriend crying or was just...
I think they're crying because it was about her brother.
More so, got it.
You know, that emotional struggle you feel, that connection.
Not to mention, at that point, you don't even know what's going on.
Nobody
knows what's happening. Once you cross that level of drunkenness, even if it's like a minor thing, like let's say someone steps on someone else's foot, you're done for the night because you are pissed off at that person more than you've ever been in your life.
Mm. Exactly. That's all it was. It was just we drank beyond the point of like reason. So we're having these deep conversations. Meanwhile, like we woke up the next day and it was like, well, what was that about?
Yeah.
Was everyone like, oh, what a fun night?
Literally that. It's like, oh, everything's great. We went out to breakfast, went to the beach, and just drank some more on the beach and hung out. And so that was good for the first night. Then we took it a little easier on the second night because we just got way too crazy that first night. And even one of the friend that was in the group, I guess apparently from going out so many nights in a row, he got like sick all of a sudden, like just like flu symptoms. We went out to dinner and he like got an Uber home because it was like, I'm sweating. I have a fever. I need to go like go to bed. So it was like crazy turn of events.
Worst. When you're on vacation and you get sick and you spent all this money, I don't know of anything that's worse than that.
Yeah, it really is terrible. Because you don't feel good. All you want to do is be in your bed.
Yeah.
You can't. You're in like a great place and you want to be enjoying that, but you can't. It's a whole mess.
Yeah.
That's
it looked horrible.
To me a few times on before a trip where I know I'm getting sick and I'm like, I don't care. I'm just going to drink through this and I'm going to pretend like I do not know that I'm sick. And then when I'm done with vacation is when everything
it
just
hits you like
sort
a truck.
Falls out of my body.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I mean that was pretty much we went to a big ass pool party that was happening in the Key West. Like, I don't even remember what it's called. Like, Nat, I'm not going to remember it. But it was gigantic with like just hundreds of people around this pool. Like, people were hooking up in the pool. People were drinking. I just chilled by the pool. Had a pina colada.
Now,
relaxed.
When you say hooking up by the pool, I mean, what is it just?
We looked over at this couple. Like, this girl was twerking in this guy's face where there's butt luges going on.
There's what? I'm sorry, what?
A butt luge.
What
where
is
you're
a
drinking.
Butt?
You drink out of a girl's butt.
Like
it spills
like,
down her back, down her
it.
Crack,
I got
into
it.
Your mouth. Yeah. I like that. It rhymes. Down her back. Into. Anyway.
Wait, that's a thing?
That's a thing.
Yeah. It's like, you ever had a shot out of like an ice sculpture?
Yes.
It's like that, but with an ass.
With an ass. Wow. A lot of people do it with the titties. But but they were doing it with the booty. But then.
Isn't that kind of unsanitary?
Yes.
No, it's extremely. That's what.
Because isn't it? Going like over your naughty bits and and then into
Hello Miguel, this is 2019. People,
well, that's why I mean I love my girlfriend because she's like, that's how you get E. coli. I'm like, oh my gosh, well. Yeah, so that was going on there. It was a ton of stuff, but we took it easier.
At any point during this weekend, was your penis or your girlfriend's naughty bits out while in public?
No, nobody's naughty bits were out in public. Wait, let me think. I mean, I peed outside a couple times, but that wasn't like in public. It was more so like behind some stuff because there was no time to get to a bathroom.
Mm.
But nobody was like flashing anybody.
Okay.
Anything like that. No, I think my drunken self, like if my girlfriend decided to like flash her titty, like I would flip out, especially drunk.
What? Even on spring break?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to act like I want it. If that happened, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? Especially about, like, I don't know. I'm pretty protective when it comes to that. I don't want other people seeing that. That's mine.
Interesting. Holly.
I feel like most guys would be that way.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to be that, like, about it. But I know, especially my drunken self, I become like a too masculine figure. Like, right now, I'm like, anything goes. But as soon as I get to a point of drunkenness, you step the wrong way, I might put my drink down.
Jack you up.
Oh, wow. I mean, but what if you all are in Key West, or let's say you're at Mardi Gras, and there's, like, a parade going on, and you're just, you know, there are other people around you, and they're pulling their boobs out, and they're like, ooh, flash me, give me some beads. And your girlfriend was just like, you know what? I'm in college. Only live once. Let me just do it once. Woo, give me some beads. Put her shirt down. That's it. Would you still be upset over that?
I probably wouldn't be. I think now I wouldn't be as upset. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be kind of okay with it. I think my first initial reaction, like my stomach would probably drop. I'd be like, Like, what? But then I would have to change that thought and be like, it really doesn't matter. But I think she would be the same way. If, like, I showed my penis, she would not be okay with that. Like, that's
Isn't
for sure.
Isn't it so funny? I feel like it's way more acceptable for a woman to do that than a guy to just be at Mardi Gras and they're like,
you know,
hey,
why?
Penis.
It's because, like, nobody wants to see anybody's penis except for gay men.
I'm about to say a girl.
Unless you're a gay Mardi Gras, nobody wants to see nobody's penis.
That's like, called Southern decadence, girl. Yes.
Well, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, and I think it's just acceptable because guys want to see boobs. Mm. And so that's why it's not really that big of a deal if a girl does it, I guess. Like, I don't want to do it, but that's why it's the reverse. Like, no women, well, I shouldn't say that. Not as many women are like, yes, let me see a naked dick. That's aggressive. I don't want that in my face.
Now, you know, it's so funny because I feel like I didn't really truly realize this until a few years ago when we were talking about 50 Shades of Grey and the movie coming out.
I feel like that was a critical turning point for you.
It was. That's when, like, it was like my mind was blown open wide about understanding women. So you were doing the entertainment report and we were in Panama City and you were like, so what's Dakota Fanning? Johnson.
As Dakota Johnson.
Dakota Johnson, you know, she's going to show her breasts in the movie, but Jamie, whatever his name is, Dornan, he is not going to show any penis. And on the air, I was like, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. Like, this movie is for women, and so how are they not going to show boobs when they should be showing a little bit of peen or something? And then Holly, you were like, women don't want to see that. And I was like, no.
Yeah, we had to take calls. True. Miguel goes, no, that's just you. And like, we need to take calls because I'm trying to stand up for you ladies. Like,
yes,
we want to see penis, right?
Yes. Girl,
no. And people are like, no.
Woman that called in was like, Miguel, love you. I don't want to see penis.
You're off the mark.
Don't want to see it. Don't want to see it. Don't want to see it. Don't want to see it.
For 10 women, there's probably one that's like, yeah, I'll see a penis.
Yeah.
So you've got the outliers. I mean, there are women, but majority, I would say, I would rather picture what else is going to happen than see it just and be like, oh, well, okay, that's, God.
Yeah. And that's when I truly realized that. You know, I think that I share a lot of similarities with women emotionally, but then as a man, I'm still a man and visually stimulated. And so that's when I really realized that there's that big difference of women want to think about it. Mm-hmm. It wants to be alluded to.
Yeah.
Like, maybe see a little bulge, but not too much.
Yeah, not too much. Like, all of it needs to be sort of delicate and alluded to instead of like, here it is.
Right.
Okay, now I'm like, what are we doing with this?
No,
what's
not
going
me.
On?
When I watch adult material, I just put it in my...
No, I don't want...
God,
no,
God,
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 no,
right
God.
There. Yeah, right there. Oh, yeah. That's like, I just, yeah. And that's when I realized the true difference, so...
Never... And that's how we shall always know, because we talked about 50 Shades of Grey. And that's why I don't want a dick out anywhere. No, thank you. That's why women don't want dick pics.
No, it's true.
That's true.
That boom. Is, dick pics are coming from the men who clearly do not understand women.
Which, I feel like a lot of guys don't. Because
no, they don't.
And you know what? This is, society sets it up that way.
Yes.
They make it seem like with like men... I totally lost my train of thought.
Oh, yeah,
and I was going down a good path.
That society, society does.
So, like, when you're coming up, they tell men, you know, don't be emotional, you know, don't cry, don't, you know, just react, be physical, be strong.
Yeah.
Women, you need to be emotional.
You're in touch with your feelings.
We are protecting you from that cruel, hard world out there, and you just don't need to feel emotion, or you don't need to be physical with anything.
Let's talk.
Let's talk. When was the last time when you were growing up, Scott, that they were like, let's talk it out?
I didn't learn that until at least either halfway through high school or not even high school. It was very much more like, especially the kids I was around, it was always, you're going to do anything about that?
Yeah.
It was never like, hey, guys, let's sit down and have a conversation.
No,
let's all talk about our feelings.
Well, I played football all my life. That was my outlet. That's what I did to get any sort of aggression out or any like inner feelings. I'm going to go hit you on the field. I'm going to take it out there. And then I'll just think about the rest of my head.
And then when you get to college, you're like, hey, let me send you a picture of my dick. You're going to like this real good. And what I've always said is that no woman in the history of time, and maybe just one or two, has gotten an unsolicited D-pic and said, let's meet up.
No, yeah, no.
No.
Gay men.
No, yeah.
Abso-freaking-lutely. If I go scroll back far enough a couple years in my text messages, I bet you there's some text messages like that.
Yeah.
But not when it comes to women and men.
Because gay men want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Do gay men see straight men's penises because no straight women are looking at them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, girl, yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I would imagine, like, all guys want someone to look at their dick, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. what you do. Like, you're excited about it.
Yeah.
Right? So women are like, oh, I'm okay. Like, I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do stuff to me. But I just, that's not how I'm going to get there.
Right.
So to get around that, are straight men just hanging out, like, sending dick pics to gay men?
No. I don't know what you do with them. I what do you do with your D pics?
Or do you not have any
D pics?
Did you when you were single? You were in college.
I never sent any to like. I never sent unsolicited, or like I never really was into that because I always thought it was kind of weird, and or rude.
Never on Snapchat. Like if you're having like a heavy, you know, back and forth with someone when you're single.
But see, then it's not unsolicited.
Right. And she's like, oh, you know, here's my cleavage, and you're like, oh, here's the top part of my stuff. And then she sends a nipple, and then you send the head of your beat.
Oh my God, what are you doing right now? What are we all doing?
Listen, I'm trying to understand you straight people.
Podcast.
I'm about to say, I don't understand straight people. I'm trying to understand. Like, when is the line? When is it appropriate to send the D pic?
I never thought it really was. I was always somebody to be like, oh, like, see it in person. Like, let's meet up. See it in person. And I'm not going to send it over. Because I always thought that I saw on the other line of things, like, girls are going to be like, they're like crowded together on their phone. And like, oh, he sent me his dick. Like, that's what I pictured in my head. So it's
and
like,
that's not wrong. Yeah,
well, exactly.
So,
see? Not completely dumb. Other guys are like, I'm going to do it anyway. No, I'm good. I don't need
but
my stuff.
But for some guys, they might like, yeah, all of them going to see this. I don't know. Like, a guy sends a girl a dick pic, and then he's like, maybe she'll show her friends, and someone will like it.
I was always scared that stuff would go around the internet, and I did not want any of that.
Yeah, no.
Well, did you ever send it through Snapchat where it would just disappear? Yeah, you did.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever like fully. I mean, okay, probably like never full, but like hints. It would be like, again, it would be that whole like meet up or you know, we should get together, but never like there it is. Hey, never like that. But I can't think of a specific time where it was like, hey, here I am.
Oh.
In your single days, Holly, did people just send you unsolicited D shots?
Yes. In fact, there was we were dating still. So when was this? This would have been within the last year, within the last 12 months. This has happened to me twice now. Somebody puts my Snapchat name on some Reddit forum or whatever, and then I have gotten spammed with dick pics.
What?
Yeah.
What Reddit forum?
I don't know.
Is it?
You think I know? I would go on and shut that shit down. I don't know.
What are they just sharing, like women radio personalities?
Not radio, but it's not. I don't even think it's a radio thing.
It's just
I just
women?
Think it's anybody. It could be like a revenge porn type thing or whatever. But I don't know how people end up giving out or like getting whatever. I don't know how it happens. But twice it happened to me where I suddenly got like a lot of notifications on Snapchat. And again, the last time this happened was like last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I started getting a lot of notifications on Snapchat. And I'm like, who is that? And I don't ever know who anybody is on Snapchat because I rarely add people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like, oh, maybe this is like a listener saying hi. Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
That's sure a penis.
Wow. Oh, dear.
So then you open the next one and it's another penis, and I'm like, okay, something's happening.
Mm.
And that's the second time that happened. Aside from those times where it's like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, like a listener would pop in and be like, hey. And I'd be like, hi. And they'd be like, bam. And I'm like, no, that's inappropriate.
Hello.
That's nope. Bye.
Oh, see, yikes. I don't know. Maybe other straight guys think that, like, hey, that's awesome. But I'm like, that makes me so uncomfortable.
I think they're just very desperate.
I think
that's what these guys are. They don't obviously. Well, I would actually like to get into the head of a dick pic sender.
Yeah,
because I'm curious if these are guys that are lonely or like they've struck out a lot and they're, it's like a last ditch effort and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just if they do it a lot out of sheer volume, maybe 1 out of 20 women will be like, okay, show me more. So maybe that. But then also, are there any like well-adjusted men that are already in relationships that are doing this?
Ooh. Like, go just
suck.
To, like, random women?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh,
that
that's
suck.
Real effed up.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, because I was like, well, they're all depressed, lonely humans. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just weird guys with fetishes that can't get any other, you know, that's how they get off.
But then, like, where do you even find the people to send it to? Like, if you're in a relationship.
Know.
There's so many questions. This is why sometimes I wish we could have the Uncensored Podcast on the air.
And to get,
I'm
to get
so
people
curious.
Calling in.
Well, I will say, if this is you, and, like, maybe you are a guy, and you're like, yeah, guys, I send dick pics. You can always email us, and then we can read your response next week on the podcast.
Yeah.
Miguel at hot1015tampabay.com. That's my email address. I'd be really curious to see if anybody, you know what I would like to do too? If you ever have a question for us, or is there something you want us to talk about specifically, you can always email me or email any of us on the show, and we can bring it the your email onto the show and we can answer it for you.
I'd love that.
I'm also too curious how many people actually listen to the podcast, because I have no clue. Like, I one time had my friend who hosts our podcast from college.
When you say host, you mean it's on his server?
It's on his server. I mean, I don't even know exactly what that means, but he does something
That's where
for
it
us.
Lives.
And we should pay him money at some point. Thank you, Andrew. Shout out.
Yeah, hey, shout out. I'll get you an Olive Garden gift certificate.
Okay, thank you. But we don't know how many people listen, because I told him to send me some metrics one time, because I was like, maybe we can like have some advertisers on the podcast or something
like
that.
We'll need those numbers if we want
to
do that.
Exactly. But he sent them to me, and I was like, I don't know. I don't do numbers. I don't understand.
Can I look at it?
Yeah.
One day?
It's literally like...
Is there like a grid?
No. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I kind of understand it, but I don't know how to say to an advertiser, this is how many people listen, or this is the average number of people that listen. It's sort of hard because the podcasting world is still kind of new. So I would be interested, if you have a second and you're listening, if you could just shoot us an email, Miguel at hot1015tampabay.com, and just say, hey, I'm Sarah in Lutz and I listen. Or, hi, I am Ben. I used to live in Tampa Bay and now I live in China.
Oh.
And I still listen. I would just be curious.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, there's a decent amount of people listening, because I got a lot of mom feedback from the podcast in December when I was sobbing. Which, thank you for all of that, by the way. Thank you to the women who emailed and were like, same. Me too, girl. And that was really helpful to me. And I got quite a few of those. So I was like, wow, this is for this to be an issue, not just for me, but then for this many moms to reach back out and say, I deal with this too. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But that, again, that's not an indicator necessarily of how many people are listening.
So, yeah. So I'm curious, because I've always wanted to do like a meetup of Uncensored Podcast people, like, you know, not like a regular Hot 101.5
event. No, this would have nothing to do with Hot 101.5.
It would be like, hey, we're going to be at the Tijuana Flats on Roosevelt and MLK.
Ooh, I'll take a burrito.
You know, for Taco Tuesday next week, and let's just see who shows up.
Right.
And maybe no one, because they could sort of be like, remember Holly back in the day?
Yep.
Want to tell that story while I'm looking something up real quick about where we're going to lunch Wednesdays at Waffle House?
Oh, no.
Okay, so we had this idea that, and again, this is back when we did radio in Panama City, so we didn't really have a promotions director or a boss who told us what to do or that we had to run stuff by. I was basically the promotions director, so we decided we were going to do a where we go on a lunch Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesdays, we would spin a wheel and figure out, because then we were like, well, let's try to get it with one restaurant that happens to have a lot of locations all around town, so we could go to the different areas, but same restaurant. And of course, what restaurant's all over the panhandle?
Waffle House.
And alliteratively, where are we going to eat Wednesdays at Waffle House? Sounds really great. So
it does.
We spun the wheel of Waffle Houses and we're like, oh, we're going to go to Lynn Haven today for that Waffle House. And so we'll be there, you know, 11. If you can, join us for a little something. And we were so excited about this. We were like, this is going to be great. And so I, thinking promotionally, I was like, well, I don't want everyone to get there and there be like, no seats and no service, because that's going to make it look like we're a bunch of idiots. So I called ahead to the Waffle House. I'm like, hey, I work for a radio show and we're going to have a big meetup there today at like 11. So just FYI, if you want to have a couple extra people come in.
Oh, no.
Not one single person came. Nope. And I mean, that was Panama City. It wasn't even that big.
I mean, and this was like when we had first started there. And I remember it was the Waffle House across the street from the mall, Panama City Mall.
Yes.
I will never forget that day of you, me, Kramer squeezing the booth. And I think they had like brought in an extra server.
They had, there were extra staff.
Yeah.
And there was like, they were excited. Mm-hmm. They're like, thank you for coming out to our Waffle House. Yeah. We're so excited to host this.
That is so awkward.
I mean, it was a valuable lesson in a lot of things.
Humility.
I know, but it's like, then you get look back and like, you know?
Cringe.
That was always the moment that we knew. So we would like to do like something very casual like that, where maybe we'll do a Waffle House. There's not that many.
I love Waffle Houses. How about that Waffle House on 54?
Yes, the one in St. Pete. We do that, or the one over at West Shore.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Mm-hmm. Where's that one that we went one time when we were driving out of town and they were super nice? It's like,
oh, that's the one by USF.
USF Waffle House. Uh-huh. Shouts out. They're very nice over there.
Or that, or like a chicken salad chick. Ooh. Holly loves that. That one's by USF.
Yes, that's my hood.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. Once we see, like, how many people listen? Like, is anybody listening
to the podcast? Somebody might. You know who's listening? Jenny Utrovska. She's listening.
That is true. Shout out. Oh, she did want us to talk about something on the podcast.
Really?
I forgot about that. Yes, I'm so glad you said her name. I will bring that up. I did want to just give a quick shout out to some people that have left comments on the Apple Podcast app, where we always say to rate and review the podcast. Someone left this comment back January 25th, Leah, 1988. She says, I'm so happy that they have a podcast. I could listen to them all day if I had the chance. Hmm. She rated us 5 stars.
Thank you.
This is Deanne 2K. She left this one February 4th, 2019. They are the best. So real. So raw. Have to have my dose of McQuail and Holly. Thank you. Yeah, I've gotten that a lot in my life. McQuail.
Just have a really quick one question for all of you people that spell it with a Q.
You people, Holly. Who are you people?
The people who spell Miguel with a Q. Why? In fact, we even had somebody at work that came in the office one time, I think, or it was somebody here that was like, now, do you spell it with a G or a Q? And I'm like, when you hear us say Miguel, does it sound like a Q? And it makes me feel like maybe I'm not doing enunciation well enough.
I don't know.
McQuell.
But you know, I've gotten that my entire life. I mean, teachers used to do that. I mean, so I can't fault whoever. Because teachers used to do that too in school.
I'm not making fun. I'm just curious how that happens.
Yeah, they'd be like, McQuell Fuller. And I'd be like, Miguel. Or early on, I'd say McQuell.
McQuell.
My name is McQuell Fuller. Thank you.
Did teachers call you McQuell?
They did at first. And then there was one teacher who I wish I could remember who they were, like in the third or fourth grade, who said, I'm sorry, it's Miguel.
She's like, you need to learn your name.
She goes, I'm going to let you know now it is Miguel. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Also, here's one more. ASAV2008. I found Miguel and Holly when I was living in the Tampa Bay area in 2016-2017. I was only there for a year, but they are amazing. The radio show reminded me of home, and it felt so good to find something so close to home when I was so far away. I eventually moved back to Louisville, Kentucky, and I was happy to see the Hot 101.5 radio app and found out they have a podcast. I'm so happy, and I'm able to listen and live so far away. Miguel and Holly just keep everything so real and don't really sugarcoat anything on the podcast. I love that they share their stories and have fun doing it. I enjoy listening to their stories and memories. I love that their stories are also inspiring, being able to just listen to what goes on in their lives, and I know that they aren't just the people behind the mic. I find myself either laughing uncontrollably, crying, shaking my head in agreement, and I have a smile across my face the whole time. It makes my day go by faster at work. I love also being able to hear Ryan and now Scott's input. The group of people just melt my heart. Love, love, love. Miguel also has my heart because he is a Big Brother fan. Love y'all. P.S. I wish that y'all could do podcasts 5 days a week. I started as far as back as I could go, and I finished every single podcast up until now. I'm about a week and a half.
Oh.
And that's a lot.
Damn.
Heck yeah. Wow.
Because we started this podcast back in 2015.
Wow.
That's a lot. So thank you so much, ASAP.
Not only that, what a great write-up.
Right?
I don't take time to write that much shit about anything, so thank you.
Put that on a billboard.
So nice.
Oh, my God. Oh, I just found a funny meme. You know that story about the stuff going on with the college admissions.
Yep. Oh yeah, there's a ton of memes right now about that. I love it.
I just took a screenshot of this one. I'm gonna post this one later. For $500,000, my child better be getting into Hogwarts. Forget USC. Damn up, Becky. Amen to that.
That is so valid.
So I took a screenshot. I'll be posting that later. Now let's get to Jenny Yudotrovska.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. She wanted us to talk about something on the podcast before we get going on
here.
I do
remember because she did send us a snap, I think.
She did.
Or an Instagram or something.
We're calling her our hashtag ghost producer. Yes, because Jenny, she works over, and sorry I'm putting all your stuff out there. She works over at USF.
She's one of our avid podcast listeners.
She's messaged me before.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, she's super awesome. Love her. She said, this is the day after, this is last week when I was talking to you, Scott, on Instagram about voting, and you were like, I don't know if I'm going to vote.
Oh, yeah.
She said, great podcast topic for y'all. Why each of y'all vote? How did you learn about voting, and what does voting mean to you, and how does that intersect with your various identities and perceived freedoms?
Wow, that is a...
That's a deep-ass question.
That's a huge question, and I love how it's set up because I just automatically just thought about how this is going to turn out.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good question. How she works in higher education.
Yeah, she does, yes. She thinks about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott, tell us about why you didn't vote.
Wow, that is so fascinating. Okay, I could give a little bit of backstory. I don't think it's going to give any leniency, but voting has always been a conflict with me, I think, internally, because my family is split. So my entire life growing up, I have half is Republican, like Republican, and half is Democratic. And so growing up, I never had clear direction on what I should not. I don't think anybody should be molded in what they should believe. I think you should follow what you truly go in after you educate yourself. But I was never able to express really one side because as soon as I do, I get pulled to the other side and the other side. And so voting was always tough, and I think it just has a bad taste in my mouth. And I still vote. Like, I vote when it's presidential, but when these smaller elections are going on, there's other priorities in my life that I'm just... I know I should be voting, but I didn't put the time in since I've moved to Tampa to set all that up here because I don't know where I'm going 4 years, and I don't know if, like, I always plan, like, oh, I could go back to Vero and vote when it happens, but I never put those ones at a high priority because, to me, I didn't educate myself enough, and I didn't want to just blindly vote because I have the right to.
Why have you not taken the time to educate yourself? I'm just curious.
I did during the presidential one, when, like, the last presidential one, I dove into that because I wanted to be one of those people that, like, I'm going to learn both sides. I'm going to pay attention. I went to rallies to hear, like, the sides of it so I can make that educated vote. But it just became too much to kind of look into the smaller sectors because when I'm looking at senators and governors and mayors and everything like that, it's like, okay, at this point, I don't even agree with what's going on either side. So now I have no idea where my belief should follow because it seems like a lot of crap is just mixed in the middle, and it makes it extremely hard. I think that's a lot of young voters. It's because now you don't even have anybody to trust because who you've been around and what you've seen is like, I'm going to vote for you, but you're going to turn around and stab me in the back, which is, you know, kind of crazy to think of. But I think I also don't have all the rules in my head of like how it works. Because I'm classified as an independent. Like, I'll state that. Like, that's fine. Because I don't want to pick in my family. No. So, I don't even know when I'm allowed to vote or, like, what ones I'm allowed to vote for.
So, I will tell you that...
Oh, God. Look at his ridiculous...
I know.
Miguel's about to school everybody. Did you see his face? He's like, wow.
Now,
have a seat.
It's sort of like that clip you played this morning of Colton of The Bachelor when he was like, I mean, I can't say what we did. Bitch, you had sex for the first time, Colton. Yes, shut up. We can tell in your voice.
That's exactly what it was.
No, so as an independent, we have closed primaries in our state. Mm-hmm. So that means when we are deciding what candidate we want to represent our party in, like, the big elections, you cannot vote in either since you're an independent person. So usually when they say primary, and usually they'll say, like, hey, you can vote now, you can't vote now. They are really good here in Florida, depending upon the county you live in, about sending you notices saying, hey, here is a a test ballot so you can sort of read through stuff before you go voting. And they'll tell you, you can't vote in this one. Or yes, you can, or whatever. But I will say that, like, and I didn't really get this until I was in college when I had a political science professor who was also her husband was a representative in the local Congress in Georgia when I learned about all this stuff. But, like, literally everything affects you when you vote. So, like, president, yes. I mean, I feel like even sometimes, like, what when, like, obviously, like, the president is the big person that makes the big decisions. But, like, there are so many small things, like the roads that you drive on, you know, when you can buy alcohol, you know, what you do on the beach, the fact that we can't drink on the beaches here. I mean, all that stuff, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, whoever our next president, they don't care about that. Mm-mm. That stuff happens locally. And so that's why I'm always so curious to ask. And thank you, Jenny. Great conversation.
Yeah.
Of asking, because you don't, and I didn't realize that everything we do is affected by voting. Like the fact that we don't have state income taxes here. You've never lived outside of Florida. Have you?
No.
So like you get most of your, some of it goes to federal and then it goes
that's
to
it.
You. Where Holly comes from in Ohio, where I come from in Georgia, you have less money because we had state income taxes.
You always ended up owing state, by the way. You never got a refund from state. You always just owed.
Regardless
of how much. It was always, gotta pay Ohio.
I had to pay always like $78 to the state of Georgia when I was in college. And I was like, really, bitch?
I know.
That's a lot of money for a college student.
Exactly.
I ain't got $78. So just remember that. And I'm not making you feel bad.
I love the conversation.
It's just good to know that everything you do matters to you. And also, going back to what you were talking about with your family, like, in a perfect world, I would hope that no one would ever make their child feel bad about how they voted, but that's not a perfect, we're not in a perfect world.
And because parents want to put their beliefs on to the next generation. That's where you get into trouble because you're like, well, I have this young person I can mold, obviously. Mm-hmm. I want to mold them into what I believe.
Right.
Because that's what I believe. This is what I think is right. I'm going to tell my kid what's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get that. And I think most people grow up voting the way their parents do anyway, because that's your first exposure to the entire act of voting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until later that you, and I mean really, until you kind of move away or go away, that I think you start figuring things out on your own.
Yeah.
And I think for me, one of the things that got me into voting, first being my race, I'm black, and growing up in Atlanta where activism is so strong there and learning about, you know, what people did to fight for vote. And so that's why for me it's so personal as a black man. And actually, it's really funny. Orlando, across the street from Wild 94.1, he actually made fun of me on the Instagram of you, because when I was like, people die for you to vote. And then Orlando was like, who died for that white man to vote? Why are you trying to use our black talk to, your poor Scott over here? And I was like, true. But that's just how you grow up in the black community, is being like, people literally died. And watching those movies, hearing the stories, my grandmother couldn't vote.
What you had to give up in order to have that, or what the people in the past have had to give up for you to have that right.
Exactly.
It's pretty sobering.
And so I guess for me, as a black person growing up in the South, hearing those stories, growing up in Atlanta, when people say, well, I don't have the time to vote, I'm like, well, girl, there are people who literally died for that to happen, even if you're not black. And so that's why for me, I'm such a big proponent of just taking the time to go do it, you know? And to me, Jenny, that's why it's important to me. And then obviously the gay, you know, one of the first election that I could vote in was in 2004. It was for the Kerry Bush election. And in Georgia, we were voting on gay marriage at the time. This was 2004. So obviously it was not going to pass back then. But I remember it passed to ban gay marriage and put it into our constitution by like 75-77%. And at the time when I was just 19, to me, it felt like 78% of people in my state that I grew up in said, you are not a valid equal human being. So that's why for me, voting matters a lot, because when you have those sort of things that are basically saying you don't have the same rights as me, that's pretty sobering and it sucks. And that's why I was like, fuck this shit. I want to get the fuck out of Georgia for a while. Holly, why do you vote?
Okay. what?
Oh, let me read Jenny's question again.
Yes, please, because I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Okay. Let me just go back. Why each of y'all vote? How did you learn about voting? Mm. What does voting mean to you, and how does that intersect with your various identities and perceived freedoms?
I feel like I need to see this question before I answer it. Anyway, yeah. All right, so why? Okay, yeah. Make sure I get all the parts and pieces. So why do I vote?
Why do you vote?
I vote because I grew up seeing my mom vote. She was a good role model for me. Mm-hmm. We would go out to the little polling booth, and I just thought it was cool. I was like, look, you get to put a little curtain around you, and you get a sticker at the end. Like, as a kid, I was like, oh, that's awesome, because it's a fun thing we don't do all the time.
Right.
So I grew up seeing my mom vote, and then I turned 18 right before the 2000 election. So I could vote in that election. And I just felt like that whole year was just so, when you're that age and you're like on the cusp of graduating high school, you feel like the world is yours. You're like, okay, first of all, I'm 18. I can legally do shit now.
Yes.
I can vote my own self. Yes. Like, I can do this. And also it's 2000. It's like a magical year. Mm. So I was really excited to vote. But see, my mom didn't necessarily vote in a lot of the primaries that I recall. Mm. We didn't talk about that. We talked about the presidential ones. So I didn't know really anything about the other elections. It was just ignorance. Mm. I mean, especially, and then I went to college in that year of 2000. I went to college out literally in the middle of a cornfield. There's not a lot of, and I feel like in your government classes or your whatever classes that you might learn about that, we didn't learn about that. I don't remember learning about the primaries. And I mean, I'm sure we probably had a lesson on it at some point, but I don't remember learning about it. Right. I don't remember it being impressed upon me that this was like, you know,
you gotta do
you
it.
You have to do this. Mm. I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. And I, when we were out there in the cornfields and, you know, it was like, okay, well, you can obviously vote for the presidential election. And that's what we all talk about so often. But everything else just seemed like, that's grown-ups. Like, that's right. Adult. Like, that's for real adults.
Right.
Not like my 18-year-old ass who can, like, go do some shit legally now. No. Now, it's like, that's, like, for people that know more than me. I don't know enough. You don't want me voting anyway. I don't know anything. So it was almost like, that's not for you. And I don't know why. I don't know why we had this mindset, because I would go. I've never missed a presidential election. But I don't think I even started voting in the primaries until a couple years ago. I think it was just never the focus, although my mom was always really adamant that, you know, we talk about stuff and we would talk about the presidential side of things. We just didn't when it came to the smaller races. So I think it was just pure ignorance on my part as to why that was never important to me. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older and I got more socially aware, and I made more friends of different races and different, you know, sexual orientations and things like that, where I realized that just from talking to people, meeting new people, that's when I realized, oh, voting in these other races does matter.
Right.
Voting does matter. And then all these people want to tell you, like, oh, well, you're one vote. What's it going to do? But I still got to do it. So to me, can you put your thumbprint?
Oh,
I
yeah.
wanna
sorry.
Read the second part of her question.
Let me see here. Oh, you have to scroll back.
Hold oh, sorry. On. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. We're scrolling. They see me rolling. They see me hating.
I don't think that's fully how it goes.
I'm trying to ride and dirty. There we go.
All right. So.
Gotta get in there riding dirty.
What does voting mean to you, and how does that intersect with your identity and perceived freedoms? So my perceived freedom as a woman, I guess, is that what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that women didn't have the right to vote.
Right.
Until, you know, my grandmother was, what year was she born? I think that women got the right to vote the year she was born.
Mm.
So, I mean, back before then, women were basically just like shuffled around. Property. Didn't have a lot of say in anything. Mm-mm. So that's another reason my mom has weirdly been sort of a feminist, I guess, from her days when she would get into arguments with my grandfather about why women at that time couldn't work in the steel mills in Cleveland.
Mm.
And they almost had like a, she almost had a like move out of the house because of that. Because she's like, women can do, and this was the 70s, women can do whatever men can do. And of course, my grandfather was like, the hell they can. We use bad language in the steel mills. And my mom was
my
like,
my heavens.
I know. So she is always impressed upon me that, you know, we do have this right. And as a woman, you used to not, so you should do it. So, I mean, I have utilized that before in my own head, but I don't think that, like, when Miguel, when you say that it was always so prevalent growing up in a city that is very high in activism, I wasn't part of that. I didn't have those sort of influences. So it was never really impressed upon me how crucially important it was.
Right.
And so then when I finally started, I think it was in Panama City when I finally did a election that wasn't presidential, and really just because I didn't want you to be mad at me. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and vote because I'll never hear the end of it with this bitch. But now I see, because it just takes a while to realize, oh, wait a minute, this isn't for someone else. Me too. It's also for me.
Right.
I don't think that there's enough education about how to do it and what it means.
Right. And that's why I always try to, on the air when it's around that time, try to tell people that, you know, how fast we can drive on the Howard Franklin Bridge, the fact that we may or may not be expanding our roads to accommodate for all the people that are coming, the fact that there's new buildings going downtown St. Pete, maybe you don't want that. That's stuff that you vote on.
Yeah.
That's not stuff that just randomly happens.
This whole getting rid of straws in St. Pete.
Right. That's stuff that you vote on. And so it's like, once you realize, and I always try to bring it into those terms when we talk about it on the air, that it all comes down to you voting, that's hopefully will make it to where our generation realizes that it's so important. And I think so with our last presidential election. We're in for an interesting 2020 for the next presidential election.
I'm interested to see how it goes for sure, because it's people are paying more attention. Because I feel like until recently, I didn't really pay attention.
Right.
Because, well, and I think that's most people. You go about your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, you got to get dinner ready. You're picking your kid up. Do we have coupons for the, you know, ground beef at Fresh Market? Like, you get into the everyday minutia, and the last thing you're thinking about is, well, what does this person stand for politically? And,
like,
and
I don't care.
By the way, it's confusing.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is not being written in, like, a, you know,
common
folk notes, right? Like, so you go to even read about the candidates and the issues, and you're like, what does this even mean?
But this is the thing, is that when people say, oh, it's hard, it's a lot of work. Well, that's your fucking life.
It is. It's a lot of work. So you actually have to put the time in and figure out what it means and what it means to you. And that's why I think more people don't even do it after they realize it's important, because they're like, ugh, it's too
hard
for me.
If your company tells you, hey, we're going to deduct 10% from your check-in or from your pay unless you figure out who you're voting for, you're going to start Googling the candidates and figure out what they stand for.
You better figure it out real quick.
And that's what's on the line when you don't vote.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, that's it. We're done, girl.
Okay.
We made an hour out of this, and I thought it was going to be like 20 minutes.
I literally thought it had been half an hour.
No, girl, it's been an hour. How you doing, honey? Scott, what's all your social media?
You can follow me on social media at Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
And Scott, I don't think you're a degenerate.
I love the conversation.
You're a young man on the come up, and you're just trying to put your dick out wherever you can, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Praise. Holly?
What?
Yeah. I was just circling back to the first conversation we had, Holly.
Can we save that?
No.
Can we get save that from a podcast?
Absolutely
you're
not.
You're a young man on the come up, and you're just trying to get your dick out. What?
Quote unquote, Miguel Fuller.
Okay, my social media is Radio Holly on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat, but please no dick pics, because thank you for none of that.
None, thank you so much.
Also, Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
And also, you can find producer Ryan. He is at Radio McGibb. You can find him on Instagram there. And I am Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. I still update Snapchat. I'm one of the few
really?
Who still
you
does.
You can send him dick pics.
Yeah. No, you cannot.
No.
I have a boyfriend now.
I'm sorry.
For the longest time, you could. I would ask for them.
I know. Remember when we were both single?
Yes.
And I kept getting dick pics, and I was like, send them to Miguel.
And no one would. Like, no one would send me any.
Oh,
God, what a tough life.
No, that window has closed. I get all the, I can get now.
All right.
And also on Facebook, facebook.com/RadioMiguel. You can find Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, on the Hot 101.5 app. And if you listen to this on the Apple Podcast app, rate and subscribe.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.